Welcome. New Waves of Light presents Soul Awakening and the New Earth Podcast, where we discuss the nature of the soul and the evolutionary shift taking place inside human consciousness, the catalyst for the planetary shift that is birthing a new Earth. I am your host, Sarah Catherine. The time we are living in is one of radical change, environmentally, culturally, emotionally, and spiritually. Those in the world that are attuned spiritually are being awakened by the soul to the path of spiritual evolution. In this new age of Aquarius, group consciousness is beginning to find expression, leading to a collective shift in a global awakening. Groups are coming together as forerunners of humanity to birth a new era of unprecedented soul consciousness. This is the subject of our inquiry. These podcasts will be centered around important spiritual questions of this time, like what is the soul? How does one contact the soul? What is the shift and what does it mean for humanity? Are there higher beings known as the spiritual hierarchy who watch over humanity and Earth? And what do they say about the shift of the ages that has been spoken about in ancient writings and religious teachings throughout time? And finally, the big question, is there a plan for Earth and humanity? And if so, what is it? Last week, we began discussing the distinctions between spirit, soul, and personality, along with the immortality of the soul. It was shared that spirit is the divine spark in all of life. The soul is consciousness, characterized by unconditional love, and personality is the vehicle for our soul to express itself in everyday life. In today's podcast, we'll be focusing our discussion on how one makes contact with the soul with Kay. Welcome, Kay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sarah. It's fun to be here.
So, Kay, how does one make contact with the soul from your perspective?
Well, I actually think that the soul is the one that makes contact. I think the soul permeates all of life, but I don't think we're aware of it until usually I think the soul is recognized through some kind of struggle, personal struggle, a crisis in your life, maybe a job that isn't very fulfilling or a partnership that isn't working, something that really causes pain and problems for you. It could be even a death in your family that makes you recognize, it shakes you out of the ordinary. So I think that's a time that the soul can make contact with a person.
Mm-hmm. Shattering typical reality, some like a crack in the matrix.
Yeah, right. I think that too. It's a quiet inner voice kind of experience for many people. It's consciousness. So perhaps the soul could be recognized as if you do something that isn't correct in your moral compass, and you have that inner feeling that I probably shouldn't have done that. You know, that guilty feeling that you betrayed yourself in some way. Mm, so it could even be that subtle, as your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So once you've had an experience, you've been brought to your knees by a crisis, and you have that type of experience, you feel like you've really connected with your soul. How does it affect your life from there forth?
Well, I think, again, it's very unique to each person. It colors everything depending on the size of the contact, I think. In my case, I experienced an out-of-the-body experience. Mm. I left my body, and I recognized that there was a larger reality. And the interesting thing about the experience was I was fully conscious, and I knew I was out of the body. So it gave me the realization and the experience of the soul living beyond this physical body. Mm-hmm. And so that experience really colored my life, because along with leaving the body, I had an energetic change. And so when I came back into the body, I had to recalibrate the energy, because it was a higher energy that I'd brought back. And so it it made everything different. And that's when the real seeking began, because then I wanted to know what had happened. Mm-hmm. So I found Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And yes. What a wonderful book. And that opened me up to so much that was new to me. And so that's how my soul changed my life.
Yeah. You hear a lot of stories like that after people have these pinnacle experiences, these spiritual experiences, and they kind of come back from them. I think there's an instinct to create alignment, because that crisis really is showing you life as you've known it is no longer going to work for you. Your job or your partnership or whatever it is that's bringing you to your knees is making you recognize you can't live that life anymore. And you have to, and then if you do make that soul contact, has a profound experience, so much so that you, I think, seek alignment with it from there forth. You try to find what your passion is, what your gifts are, or something that's going to continue to feed that joy and love that you experience when you do make that, or the soul makes contact with you, rather.
Right, right, and it's what you're identified to with. Mm-hmm. You know, are you identified with that personality? When you've been out of the body and you've had some kind of experience like that, you don't identify with the body as strongly as you did before, because you recognize the short-lived experience of a physical life. Mm-hmm. But yet, and when I had that out-of-body experience, it was so full. There was so much love. There was so much energy that is not present in your everyday life, and you haven't had that experience. Mm-hmm. And also, it makes you more sensitive to the world beyond your own immediate life. Mm-hmm. I have more compassion for others suffering, and there's a element of service, I think, with the soul. The soul wants to help humanity. It wants to help in some way. Because you've had this experience that's so large, you want, and you have this feeling of love for everything, not just people, but the whole world. And you seek to want to have that, give that in some way. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's essential that the soul be recognized, especially now in this world that we're on this precipice, it seems, mm-hmm. you know, of environment and everything.
Yeah, it stimulates a deep desire for service and contribution inside, a drive almost to contribute and serve fellow man and probably the planet as well. Mother Earth and life, truly.
Right. And also when I say, you know, it sounds like having an out of body experience, you're fully enlightened. You're not. Mm-hmm. That's just a touch. That's mm-hmm. That's just something that makes you have hunger for more understanding. Mm-hmm. At least I needed to understand more. I think from a childhood, I've been a seeker. Mm-hmm. Wondering what the world was really about, what the life here was about. But then I kind of fell asleep and went through, you know, as everybody does, you go into school, you go to college, you get married, you have children. You kind of fall into the pattern of living. And then when you're older and you have something like what I had, then I wanted to study. I wanted to understand the greater possibility of who I was. Know thyself, they say, you know, who am I? If I've had that experience, I'm bigger than this physical body, but who am I?
Right.
And there's no magical pill. It isn't fast, I don't think. It takes some study. It takes some searching and discipline. And that comes up, you know, then there's meditation. You have to have some way to discipline yourself. I think sometimes I make this correlation that the physical experience, the physical body, personality is like a horse. And the soul is like the rider of the horse. And that wild horse has to be brought into what you said earlier, alignment. There has to be an alignment in some way, that energy brought in. And the way to do it is through study and meditation. But meditation, I think, is necessary.
Well, you're already answering my next question, which is really, what does it mean to live in the soul in terms of everyday life? And I would say, yes, meditation is, it's a tool for kind of making that contact and alignment. So it's sort of a recalibration. If you do it every day, you kind of recalibrate back into kind of your essence, your soul essence. Is there other things that you can think of that it would mean to live in the soul for an everyday life type awareness?
Well, what comes up for me when you say that is meditation on a pillow every day in a routine is really important. It's very difficult at the beginning because your lower nature wants to rebel, wants to get up and do whatever, you know, thinks of all kinds of things, that reasons you can't sit for 5 minutes. But that discipline, that holding to that routine is very important, I think. But that's not enough. Once you get up and you walk across the room and you go into the kitchen, are you back in the old way of living? Have you forgotten that inner peace, that contact that you made for that 5, 10, 15 minutes? The secret is probably bringing it more into everyday life.
That's been my experience as well. I started a meditation practice when I was around 15, and it served me very, very well. But I realized pretty early on, it wasn't going to be enough. I wanted to be able to have that experience more often in my daily life. And so I started to practice what I call walking meditation so that I could become aware during mundane tasks, particularly like washing the dishes or just going on a walk or, yeah, taking care of my dog. I could almost like a lucid dream become aware in the midst of a mundane activity that I normally would be maybe somewhat unconscious during, and bring that soul consciousness in. And for me, I find that the breath, just as it's so helpful in meditation, it's also very helpful in walking meditation. Like one very conscious breath can bring me right back into that state of peace and alignment with my soul. And so that's one of the tools that I've been using. And so I'm curious, what choices do you feel are made from the perspective of the soul? And how is it different from the perspective of a personality?
Well, I think they're radically different because, you know, as I said before, the soul wants to serve. The soul has this enormous love. And we all have the soul all the time with us. But there are different degrees of consciousness, period. And so there are people that are older souls and younger souls. Mm-hmm. And so once you make contact, no matter how old your soul is, you have to somewhat start growing that consciousness. And that is, for some people, I think making contact with the soul, it is more of a snap enlightenment. Mm. And that was one of my puzzlements as a child. I looked at the world and I thought, why? I thought about death and I wondered why some people live to 100 years old and others die in infancy or have these terrible lives and others have fortune. It just didn't seem fair. There didn't seem justice to in the world. And I was really struggling with that for a long time until I was older and I had studied and I learned about the soul and how the soul takes from each lifetime the gifts of that lifetime and holds it, you know, and for the next lifetime, it comes in and it has to probably start from the beginning, but maybe not as slow as some of us. And that would give us the understanding of Einstein being so gifted or a child prodigy for the piano. Mm-hmm. They're bringing in these souls that they've had the experiences in other lifetimes. It's evolution, actually. You know, there's incarnation after incarnation and mm-hmm. evolution. And so your question, I'm kind of going off on this, but your question was...
How are the choices that you make in your life different from the perspective of a personality versus the perspective of a soul?
Oh, yes. Well, the personality is selfish mm-hmm. Because there's fear. The personality deals with fear and it's afraid things will be taken away from it mm-hmm. and it has to fight to get what it wants. It has, there's a whole fear of survival around the personality, I think. Mm-hmm. Whereas when one has an experience of the soul and one recognizes that life is larger, and with that experience of the soul, there's a peace. Mm-hmm. And that peace has a realization that you want to help others, that you see the suffering in the world and you want to help others. And justice and fairness and freedom, those are all feelings I think that the soul has and wants to give to others and help. So somebody that's had the experience of the soul might want to fight for justice. And you mm-hmm. see this in the news all the time now. We're seeing people standing up for freedom and justice and fairness in the world. So it feels like more soul is making its presence felt in this world. And it's different from the personality that just wants to have more and more and more luxury and money. They can't be satisfied with things.
Yeah. It's like an insatiable want and desire for material things that just never fills the desire really or create fulfillment because the fulfillment comes from the soul. So the personality is seeking things outside of itself to create fulfillment and it never really comes. Yeah.
That's right. I've
experienced that myself. And while you were talking, I was thinking about one of the things that's shown up in my life through the walking meditation is it's led me to see my thoughts. And what I've recognized is how often I've had thoughts that charge my emotional state very strongly. Like I could have a thought and next thing you know, I have this very, really strong emotion because of the thought. And I think it's the walking meditation that has made me question whether the thought is actually true. And if I'm going to have this strong emotional reaction to my thoughts, I think that's the personality. The personality can make up all kinds of things, and our thinking minds can just go crazy and through all sorts of imagination, and we can really believe what we're thinking and then feel an enormous emotion around it. But I think what happened as I've been engaged in this walking meditation is it's made me put more of a spotlight onto my thoughts and question, is it even true? And half the time I've discovered those thoughts aren't even true. And yet I'm having an emotional reaction that is taking me out of that peaceful state of the soul. And so I've found that has been really enlightening for me to recognize. And now I find my walking meditation is kind of become more of a monitoring of thought. And I've really reoriented to, does this thought serve me or not? And if it's creating a negative emotion, it's not serving me, nor is it probably even totally true.
Yeah.
That's the irony of it. Yeah. Half the time those thoughts aren't even true. And so I recognize sort of this monkey mind and how much of a grip it has on my reality, and how much peace the soul can bring to that monkey mind by just watching it and recognizing that there's not inherent truth in a lot of the things that we might think. I think. And so that's been helpful. And of course, then choices are completely different. Like you said, if you're coming from a space of fear, the choices that you make may be, you know, to lash out at somebody and defend yourself or get into a fight around something. And if you're coming from a place of soul, you're connected to life. You're connected to, it's easier to hear other people's perspectives, and all sorts of different choices I think are made from that centered, peaceful place of love and connection. Yeah,
I do too. I think what you've said is just wonderful, Sarah. And I recognize that in myself as well, that it's very important. I think through meditation, you do develop that watcher, mm-hmm. as you were saying. You know, you can watch what your reactions are, your mental, your lower mental thoughts, and your emotional and your physical life. And that's the development of the soul, I think, that watcher. Mm-hmm. And when it gets strong enough, you'll know it if you're in your soul or you're in your personality. Mm-hmm. You wake up, like, mm-hmm. you know, that lucid dreaming kind of thing. You can wake up mm-hmm. and say, oh, that's certainly a personality reaction. Mm-hmm. Okay, do I want that? And at that point, you can release it.
Mm-hmm. It's real mastery when you can do that, catch it and release it.
Yeah, first you can't. I think first you just see it and you go, oh, why did I do that? But then by catching it a little earlier each time, that reaction or that thought, it does get weaker. Mm-hmm. It does get weaker. And the soul can, that watcher, that soul can come in deeper and into the life that you're living.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Kay, for sharing your insights and experiences. It's vitally important that humanity make soul contact, especially at this point in history. Our very survival depends on it. So thank you for the conversation.
Thank you, Sarah.
And we will continue this inquiry in our next episode. Until next time, this is Sarah Catherine. Love yourself. Be awake. Be love.